We're glad to see each and every one at the house of God this morning, and we're glad to hear that Brother Glenn is preaching. We need a message to encourage each and every one of us along life's way. Our scripture lesson comes from Exodus chapter 14, the first 15 verses. While you turn to that, I'd like to read just a couple of verses over in Romans chapter 7. And as we think about God, what he has done for the children of Israel as they led them out of Egypt there, and as he took vengeance upon Pharaoh and upon his gods, we like to think of ourselves as we walk along this road of life. Romans chapter 2, it's verse 7 and verse 8. To them who in patience continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Is your life a patient continuance? You know, the devil would like to take us and shake us. He wanted to sift Peter, and Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee. And we, brothers and sisters, I think Satan would like to shake each and every one of us. But how is our Christian walk of life? Is it a patient continuance? It's going to be some up and downs. But is it the patient continuance that God is pleased with, or are we shaken sometimes and quake too much at the things of life that come upon us? We may question why, and I think that's natural. I question why some things happen in my life. But brothers and sisters, I still know that God is still the great God that I serve. He is awesome. Let's turn back to our scripture. We don't want to take any time from our dear brother. We want to hear what God has to speak to him. Exodus chapter 14, we like to read the first 15 verses here. Exodus chapter 14. As we look at God's word is always sure. Exodus 14, 1 through 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahath-Heroth, between Magdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pahath-Heroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptian than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of God, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the people said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. You know, I like that last verse there, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. How many chariots were there among the children of Israel? None. Yet they faced 600 chariots, all of them with captains upon them out of the land of Egypt. But God was on their side. That's the main thing. Remember, God's always on our side. He may not take us through the valley of the shadow of death. He may take us through some persecution, through some troublesome times. He may take away all that we have in this life, but still we have treasures in heaven. But when we leave the message over to our dear brother, may the Lord bless his word. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Brother David, and thank you each for praying for the service this morning. A preacher was busy in his study, and his little boy was looking at a book of pictures by the fireplace, and it dawned on the preacher that he wanted a large book that was upstairs, and so he asked the little boy to go get it. And the boy was gone for quite a while, and it seemed to be taking a long time, and then the father was pretty sure he heard sobbing noises coming from the top of the stairs. And so he walked over and he looked up the stairs, and there he saw his little boy crying bitterly with the big book lying at his feet. And he said, Oh, Daddy, I can't carry it. It's too heavy for me. Then in a moment, the father went up those stairs, and stooping down, he took up both the book and the little boy. The boy and his burden, and he carried them both safely down to the lower floor of that house. And that, he found himself thinking later, is how God deals with his children when they cry out to him in their need. He carries both them and their burdens, and there is no longer need of tears. The children of Israel sojourned in the land of Egypt for 430 years, and while they were there, they became slaves. And they were slaves. Various commentators disagree on how many of those 430 years, whether it was all of them or half of them, but they were slaves for many, many years, for hundreds of years there in the hands of the Egyptians. And God's people cried for help concerning their heavy burden. And in Exodus 2, the Bible says their cry came up to the Lord, and he heard that cry for deliverance. And then God called Moses and Aaron, and he called them forth to deliver his people. And God afflicted old Pharaoh with 10 plagues, culminated there with the 10th of the death of the firstborn. At one point earlier, Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I'm not letting his people go. But the 10th plague changed Pharaoh's mind. It's now Egypt's turn to cry. And in the night, before the day even dawned, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, Rise up and get out of here and take your people with you. I don't want them in my land anymore. A great victory for God's people. Freedom from bondage. A wonderful day. But we'll see here in Exodus chapter 14 where Brother David read from. It wasn't long at all that the enemy was hot on their heels again and wanted to take them back into bondage and slavery once more and control them. And so it is. When a person is freed from the slavery of sin, Satan is soon hot on their trail, trying to get them back. And so the Christian is admonished in Scripture to watch and pray, to be sober, to be vigilant. We have an adversary like a roaring lion. He's going about seeking you and I that he might devour us. In Exodus chapter 13, just preceding our text chapter here, verse 20, we see that as these people were freed from bondage in Egypt and they started their journey to the wilderness, they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness, there in Exodus 13, 20. At Etham, there was no Red Sea in the way, and Horeb was close. It wouldn't have taken much longer for the nation of Israel to get to Horeb, where God wanted them to worship, where they would serve and worship their God and rejoice in his deliverance. And it's just remarkable. Etham is where they were, and there was no Red Sea blocking their way, and they didn't have far to go. But in chapter 14, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. They had an easy path, no Red Sea in front of them, and God says, turn. And yes, sometimes you and I wonder about the twists and turns that our life takes. God said, turn. In Exodus 14, 2, Pihahiroth on one side, impassable rocky mountains. On the other side, Migdol and Baal Zephon. These were possibly forts and garrisons on the edge of Egypt. And so again, there was no option of going that direction, so they couldn't go to the left and they couldn't go to the right. When God told them to turn, they turned away from a clear path to Hebron, where they could worship, and they turned right into the Red Sea. There in verse 2, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And so the sea was in front of them. There were rocked, craggy mountain rocks on the other side. It was impassable. There were no doubt Egyptian forts and garrisons over here. They couldn't go that way. And so they were blocked in front, and they were blocked in on both sides. What could they do but go back? Or maybe look up. That's another direction. From a military perspective, this was an absolutely horrible place to choose to camp. Absolutely horrible, a death trap to camp in such a place when you had such an enemy for hundreds of years, and who knows but what they might change their mind and follow. And then there's no retreat. What a horrible choice. But you know who made the choice? God did. God made that choice for them. He told them to turn in verse 2. And they turned right into a Red Sea. It was deep. It wasn't like some readings you might get a hold of that are trash. It was deep. They couldn't wade through it. Here in Exodus 14, Brother David read verses 3 through 9. What do you think Pharaoh is thinking here? I believe he's thinking, ha, ha, you children of Israel, you people that Moses and Aaron wanted so desperately to lead out of here, you're not so smart. What a stupid place you chose to camp. Can't imagine who your God is. It's no wonder I never believed in him. This is going to be easy. These, I believe, are thoughts in Pharaoh's mind. This is going to be easy. We're going to get back these slaves. We're going to take them back. And they're going to serve us once more. They're going to make bricks. They're going to gather their own straw. It's going to be worse than ever. And so Pharaoh plans to recapture and ruin Israel. And so he plans at various times to recapture you and to recapture me, to make us slaves again, to control us, to make us miserable, to take all hope out of our lives. But God is outthinking Pharaoh. And is using this campsite as bait. And Pharaoh swallows the bait. God's plan is to capture Pharaoh and destroy him. And oh, my people, sometimes we just need to get beyond this temporal misery that we're in and see the eternal view and see and trust and have faith. Whatever God is doing, he's doing it good and he's doing it right. We would wonder sometimes and we would even ask why this distress, why this obvious trap that we're in? There's nowhere to turn. And then for the Christian, there is trust and obey. Never fear, children of Israel. God is outthinking Pharaoh. God was not honored by Pharaoh, but God would be honored upon Pharaoh. And that's true for every human being. He will either be honored by us or he will be honored upon us. And I think you know what I mean. Verse 8 tells us that the children of Israel went out with a high hand. It was a great day. It was a day of victory. It was a day of freedom. Like the day you and I repent of our sins. And we turn around and we head in a new direction. And our burdens are lifted at Calvary. Not one person in this building needs to allow the enemy to overtake and destroy that life that was given back by Jesus. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God was greater than Pharaoh. A high hand as they left that place of bondage. It was victory. It was revival time for the children of Israel. But watch out. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And overtook them encamping by the sea. Beside Pihahiroth before Baal-Zephon. After the mountaintop. Be on guard. Verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The trap has been completed. This terrible place to camp in the eyes of humanity has been completed. It's no more forward, it's no more to the right, it's no more to the left, and now they cannot even retreat. And so now they cry out. There is only one direction to look at this time, and they do it. At least some of them do it. I'm not sure they all did because of the next verse. Maybe there was a mixture here of who they cried to, because we see in verse 11, immediately they're getting on Moses and they're complaining and they're accusing him. Weren't there any graves back in Egypt? Why didn't you just let us there? We could have lived our lives out there. And that quick they forgot how miserable it was to be in bondage. And oh, we're so quick also to forget how miserable it is to be in the bondage of Satan and sin. But they were quick to forget. And they accused Moses foolishly here. What'd you do? What'd you bring us out into this wilderness for to die? To them it was all over. To them it was a grave. To them it was death. And when we don't see the bigger picture, and when we don't see beyond our present troubles, and we don't look into the eternal view that God wants us to have through faith, we think it's death, we think it's no use, and we want to give up. Verse 12. They continue their complaint. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Isn't that horrible? Isn't that pathetic? That a people would be wishing they were back in slavery, where God had just with a high and powerful hand through Moses and Aaron brought them out. God have pity on us. If we would play games with his mercy and grace and consider going back into the miseries and slavery of sin where he brought us out from. They're saying, I'd rather be back there in chains. I'd rather be back there in bondage. Verses 13 and 14. Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still. And by the way, that's the title this morning. Forgive me for forgetting the title. God's word is so much more important than titles. But the title this morning is Stand Still. Go forward. There's like a colon in between there. Stand still. Go forward. And so we're here, we're getting to the stand still part. Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. How's he going to show that to us today? We're trapped, we're surrounded by obstacles. But he's going to show it to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I believe that could speak to us this morning of besetting sins that we don't have to put up with all life long. At least not to the degree that they grip us and control us. Under the power of God and under his salvation, as we stand still and let him fight for us, we can have the promise of never seeing them again. Not in their former condition and power. Fear not. Stand still and see. Don't forget verses 1 through 4. God allowed, he even designed this distressing situation, the trap that Israel is experiencing here at the shores of the Red Sea. Why did God do it? Well, it says right there in verse 4, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. That's one reason. In our Red Seas. And some of you have been in Red Seas, and we all have been, and some are in them now. The Red Seas of life. The miserable places, the places of sorrow, the places of distress, the places of trouble. In our Red Seas. Why? So doctors and nurses can know that there is a God. Maybe that funeral directors can know that there's a God. And that others in our lives that come in contact with us and see how we live and how we act and react, that there is a God that we serve and that we trust in. And so that's one reason why God would tell them to turn right into a Red Sea trap. Another reason. So God's people learn to trust and obey him and recognize him as sovereign, as omnipotent, all-powerful, and loving. Verse 31 of our text chapter says, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. It's so important when we face the distressing times of life that we have that belief, that we have that faith. We can't go through the times of distress on this earth without it. And it's really all we have at times. But it is a sure thing, my people. Some of you were recently standing still. You were in verse 13 of Exodus 14, looking at your Red Sea, and you were standing still. You were waiting. You were praying and you were trusting. Now, praise the Lord, you are going forward. By His grace and by His power, in order to honor and glorify your deliverer, others this morning are still standing still. And I want to quickly add, there's nothing wrong with that. It's even God's command here in verse 13 that you stand still. Diagnosed with a dreaded disease, or death hath taken a precious loved one, or there are other complications and troubles and disappointments that have you in great distress, sorrow, and even fear. Your life seems to have stopped. It's at a standstill. No direction appears safe to move. It's also uncertain. So you're standing still. You're waiting on God. You're praying. You're telling God about your fears. He's hearing all about your weakness. And you're trying your best to trust Him. And God says, keep standing still for now. Right now I'm holding you. And your burden is also being held by me right now. I'm carrying you to a safe place. Don't worry about going forward until I tell you. Right now, just rest. Deuteronomy chapter 33, 27 just might be for you this morning. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy before you and shall say, destroy them. Do you need the everlasting arms? Have you received them? Are you accepting them? Dear brother and sister, it's the only way to get through the Red Sea. When God says, go forward, like he does in verse 15 of our text, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There was a time to stand still. There was a time to see the salvation of the Lord. And now there is a time. And God will tell you when to go forward. He will not necessarily remove the Red Sea. But our God, your God, my God, will make a path. He will make a way through that Red Sea. A safe path. Now, Satan, after you know it's time to go forward, he will do his utmost to keep you from ever going forward again, from ever taking another step in a forward direction with God. He'll even tell you that God cannot be trusted. How do you know that those walls of water on either side of you aren't going to get let loose and fall upon you? Sometimes we need to take each other by the hand and help each other through the Red Seas of life. Maybe one's faith isn't as strong as another and they need a hand and they need pulled along. I don't know, but I can imagine that enormous multitude of the children of Israel as they headed through that dry path through a Red Sea where there was a wall of water on either side. I imagine some of them were fearful and maybe some held back. And they had to be taken by the hand and helped along. Come on, God is with us. But it was a fearful thing to walk in between two walls of water. And Satan will do his utmost to keep you and I from going forward in victory. And at this point, your faith in an all-wise, sovereign, loving God and my faith in Him must prevail. Must prevail. There's an example of exactly what I'm talking about. It's in Joshua chapter 3. I'm not going to turn to it this morning, but there in that account, Joshua, he needs to cross the Jordan. And that time of the year, the Bible would tell us that the Jordan was overflowing its banks. So we see this high, rolling, muddy flood of water coming down the Jordan. And a people of God is supposed to cross it. I challenge us with this thought. When did those waters part? Not until there was obedience, until faith was exercised, and there were steps forward taken, and the feet of the priest bearing the ark actually got in the water. And the water parted. And it was a high hand that they took, that they went across the river with, because God was working for them and making a way that they might cross. God makes a way, but we must trust and obey, and we can go forth with peace of mind and victory. I challenge you to read the rest of Exodus chapter 14 sometime. I should highlight a few verses to get us the rest of the story here. In verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 28, and the waters returned and covered all the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And verse 31, the Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So we see how God rescued his people out of an impossible trap, the way humans look at things, the way you and I look at things. It was impossible. No turning to the right, no turning to the left, no going forward. They didn't think, and they couldn't go back. But see here how God hath rescued his people and destroyed the enemy at the same time. You think God doesn't care about you as an individual? My son Colby shared this verse with me. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. God have pity on humanity. Yes, we have heard and read about babies that ended up in dumpsters. Or in the commode, the toilet. Yes, a woman might forget her child that hath come forth from her own womb. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Your shape, your form, you're graven in my hands. That means you're cut into my hands. You're engraven there. I can't forget you, my dear people. You're right before me all the time. Please, we need to remember that in our darkest hour. God hath not left sight of us. He hath not lost sight of us. We're still in the palm of his hand. The palm of his hand. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord Stand still this morning. Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I guess that's what the children of Israel thought they needed. We're surrounded. We need to fly. Well, they were able to walk because God made a path through the flood, through the waters of the Red Sea. They shall renew their strength, they that wait upon the Lord. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God does not always remove our Red Seas, my dear people. But he has made a path. And he does make a path today yet. He makes a way for his people to go through the difficulties, the storms, the miseries of life. And at the same time, he gives lasting victory over the enemy of our souls. We need to trust him. And sometimes we need to stand still. And we need to wait, and we need to see the salvation of the Lord. And then, by the grace and the power of God, we must obey him and go forward. God bless you.
It's appropriate at the end of this message, where our thoughts have been drawn to human nature, for us to take heed and stand still. Let's stand at this time.